Romans chapter 3, from verse 19 to verse 26. This is the word of God. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and be justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Amen. Let me start by asking you a few questions before I go to my first point. I think you have noted down those three questions I'm going to ask you, because after the sermon, I'll ask you what I was saying in this sermon. The first question I'm having is, have you ever had the disturbing experience that things were not right between you and a business partner, or a neighbor, or a parent, between you and a relative or a member of your church? Is not good feeling, is it? Unless you have no soul or conscience, so that it doesn't bother you, most of us feel badly when things aren't right between us and someone we care about. It troubles us. It eats us away inside us. Sometimes we try to pretend by giving a fake smile. It doesn't bother us, but it does. We can't sleep. We can't eat. I mean, sometimes we get bad temperament. We know it needs to be resolved, but we often don't know where to begin. I think most of us have been in that situation. Or we don't want to be the first person to take a step to bring reconciliation in that issue. I've seen this kind of problem destroying the lives of pastors, destroying the lives of the congregants, because sometimes they come to church every Sunday, but they are not in good terms. I mean, they come in one holy communion, they share bread and wine, but they are not speaking to each other. I think most of you have seen that. And that is destroying the church of God. They let it boil. The worse it gets, and the wall between them, it gets bigger and bigger. So I want to give you this example. I like eggs. I like boiled eggs. So if you overboiled eggs, I mean, you can't eat it. I mean, it smells so badly. I mean, the aroma is so badly in that eggs. So try it one day when you're at home. Overboil it and you'll feel that it smells so bad. So even in our relationship sometimes, it smells so bad because, I mean, we are in the same class, we are in the same church, but you find that we are not in good terms. We are not speaking to one another. I mean, we are still holding grudges to one another. So, and then at the end of the day, we claim that we are Christians. Well, sometimes things aren't right between us and God. People are confronted with the reality of their own death, especially when you visit the hospital and you see, I mean, many times when I'm visiting the hospital and you see people, I mean, who are wrestling with their lives. Let's say, I mean, in the street language, they say they've got the last bar. So, I mean, they're wrestling with their life. The question they are having in their life is, am I right with God? That, I mean, it makes them to struggle more, because the more they get sick and they see that their days are numbered, that question starts to run in their minds. Is my relationship with the Lord right? If I can die, am I right with the Lord? So I think that's the only the question that we are having us, we are having as a church today. Are we right with God? And we are not the first one who are struggling with that relationship with God. David, when you read in Psalm 32, he says, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." So brothers and sisters, we need to be right with God. And when we are in, it bothers us. It can make us physically unwell. I've seen many people losing weight. I mean, because they don't have a good relationship with their parents. They don't have a good relationship with their spouse. They don't have a good relationship with their congregants. So if you don't have, you will lose weight. I mean, abazo kabangu to puza aba ama bio slim kantinkinga ikona ngaphakathi. Being right with God is fundamental human need. We were made to have fellowship with Him, and when that relationship is not right, we are not whole as persons. So let me go to the first question: what makes us not right with God? So we start with a negative question. There are many things that makes us not right with God. There are many things that can damage our relationship with God. For example, if we continue in sin and fail to follow God's will for us, we are not right with God. If we neglect to worship with Him in prayer and worship, we are not right with God. If we don't bother to read His word and meditate on it and study it and allow the Spirit of God to speak to us through it, we are not right with God. So as the preachers of the word, you should know that if you don't spend your time reading the word of God, then you don't have a good relationship with God. I mean, I've given my congregation this example when I was preaching this text, that if you are having a relationship, how many of you have girlfriends here? How many of you are married? Please raise your hand if you are married. If you are going to get married soon, raise your hand. If you are still searching, raise your hand. Thank you, Seshat. So, but if you are having a relationship with a girl, maybe you want to get married, I mean, time and again, you need to speak to each other. I mean, you need to call her and find out what she likes, what she doesn't like. So, I mean, that relationship we are having with God, if we don't communicate with God through prayer, if we don't read His word, His love letter, then in other words, our relationship is dead. So, brothers and sisters, if we want to be right with God, we should have the good relationship by reading His word and meditating on it and study it and allow the Spirit of God to speak to us through it. If we don't serve Him in the ways that He desires, then we are not right with God. If we are adding or subtracting the word, I mean, to suit our stomach, then we are not right with God. If you are living in enmity with your neighbor, that too hurts our relationship with God. And it can happen to any one of us. I believe that every child of God at one point in his or her life comes to a realization that I need to get right with God. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you need to get right with God. Maybe you have been serving God for a long time. Maybe you have been preaching for a long time. But to find out that you don't have a good relationship with God. I know those kind of preachers. I mean, who can preach powerfully? But when you look in their life, their life is diverted from what they are preaching. So I've read one book by Andrew Cavenhoven. The title of the book is Comfort and Joy. And the book was written to the North, I mean, I quoted a paragraph that was written to the North American. So I'll read it, and while I'll read it, please be careful. I'll tell you, here is American, and here is South African. Because this is for all of us. In his book, Comfort and Joy, I've quoted this paragraph. He says, our North American culture is thoroughly materialistic. It cannot think of goodness and happiness without thinking of things. Therefore, even today's Bible-believing Christians tend to seek the benefits of believing in something other than being right with God. And this is South African. deeply influenced by contemporary culture, too many evangelists present the gospel in terms of extravagant promises. Accepting Christ stands for delivery from all sorts of nasty habits and situations, while positively it stands for joy, happiness, prosperity, wholeness, and good relationships, and so on. By embracing Christ, by embracing the Christian faith, people will find self-worth. We are told by being active in giving and praying, we will experience many tangible benefits. Preachers promise, and tired of the old testimonies about being right with God in Christ, we hear of people who win the golf tournament by the power of prayer. Now that's where people begin to take note. That's faith that pays dividends. But I like these three lines in his quotation. He says, people in the church are embracing more and more to the pop feel good gospel of promise and power. And it's also African. Because many times, people, they don't want to hear about sin or hell, or the wrath of God anymore. So people, when you are preaching, what they want to hear, they want to feel good. And maybe you are here, you are also preaching that kind of a gospel, where people, when they come out of the tent or a church, they say, I'm feeling good, Pastor. I'm revived. I'm feeling good. But you should ask, in your sermon, each and every time, when the people go out of that tent, they should ask themselves, am I standing with God, is it right? Am I a Christian? But if the people are enjoying your sermon because they make them to laugh, then, my brother, you need to start first by being right with God. Today, people, they don't want to hear sermons about sin and wrath anymore. They want messages that can make them feel good and positive about themselves. And nobody wants to ask the question, am I right with God? Let me ask you, how many people have asked you as a pastor whether they are right with God? But many times people will ask you, what kind of a gift am I having? What kind of a spiritual gift am I going to receive this year? Because I've been in a tent where people, they say, this is my year for spiritual gifts. What they want to ask is, what can God do for me? Or what gift is the Spirit ready to give me? But our sinful and hopeless condition is the background against which we must understand the message of the Bible. So, brother or sister, if you are teaching that make me feel good gospel, please delete it. That's not the gospel of God. If you are preaching the gospel and the people are following you because you are motivating them, then delete it. It's not the gospel of God. So the gospel of God is there. You preach about Jesus Christ. You tell people about the salvation, that we are made right through Jesus Christ. Not because you can do it. We cannot do it ourselves. We need Jesus Christ. We have problem here. The problem is our sinful nature. So we need somebody who can save us from this sinful nature. And it's our Lord Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen? What is required for us to be right with God? Well, I'm a Reformed church. I'm a Reformed church. I would like to quote something in the Heidelberg Catechism. Maybe most of you don't know Heidelberg Catechism. But in Lost 823 of Heidelberg Catechism, it's asking the very same question. How am I right with God? The question is also woven between the lines of Romans 3. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The implied question is, how can we be right with God? How can anyone be right with God? The answer, of course, is that we need to be righteous. The only way that you and I can be right with God is by being righteous. What do I mean by being righteous? Is by living in perfect conformity to God's will, by doing and thinking and behaving as does God, and imaging the Almighty in everything we say and think and do.
That is the answer. To be right with God, you must live. Your life should be Christ-centered. The way you talk, I mean, sometimes it's so painful. I mean, the pastors on Sunday, they speak so nicely. I mean, even if they create, I mean, they are so humble. But go to them during the week. They speak so blasphemy. I mean, listen to him when he's talking to his wife or his children. I mean, you might think it's somebody else, but he's a pastor. But on Sunday, he's number one. And the Bible says, God says, you must be holy, for I am holy. I think we know that verse. There are many songs they are singing about that. And the psalmist said, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. A righteous person, according to Psalm 15, is someone whose walk is blameless. And is someone who does what is righteous. Is someone who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue. Who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man. Who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord. Who keeps his oath even when it hurts. Who lets his money without usury and does not accept a bribery against the innocent. That is the kind of a man or a woman or a boy or a girl I need to be in order to be right with God. So when you look in your life, are you blameless? How many of you are blameless? Please raise your hand. How many of you speak the truth from the heart? Wow. Pastors? Then you can see that all of us, we are not right with God. So we need to be right with God. So there is a problem here. So let's look at the problem. When I look at this verse, I'm not that kind of a person. Maybe you look at a verse, maybe you see yourself half, but you are not that kind of a person. And that's what Paul is saying in Romans 3. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. We have a problem, brothers and sisters. In order for us to be right with God, we need to be righteous. But none of us is righteous. In fact, we can't be. Our minds, our hearts, our spirits, our emotions, our intellect, every part of us has been so affected by sin that we cannot be righteous. No matter how hard we try, the Bible says even our best works are but filthy rags in the sight of God. And see, that's important to know. We are not righteous in ourselves. So who makes us right, brothers and sisters? The first step. So the first step to being right with God is not to know, and I mean is to know and believe that by yourself you can never be right with God, because you are not righteous. You are a sinner. So you cannot make yourself right. I've heard many pastors when they commit sin and they say, "Muruti kita ituki, I'll make myself right." How are you going to make yourself right? So the second step is to go to Jesus Christ. I am right with God. When I'm in Jesus Christ, I'm right with God. And the heir of life, the everlasting life in Christ. I am right with God, not in myself, not on the basis of my own righteousness, but on the basis of His. The good news of the gospel is this. Listen to this. Without my deserving it at all, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect sanctification, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I have never sinned, nor been a sinner, as if I had been as perfectly obedient as Christ, who is obedient of me. That's what makes us free. Jesus Christ makes us right with God. Jesus and his righteousness alone, and nobody and nothing else, can make us right with God. That is a liberating truth. That this truth is setting us free from this bondage of sin. That we need Jesus Christ. So many pastors you know who preach, but they don't have Jesus Christ. I know few. They preach so powerfully, but you look in their life, they don't know Jesus Christ. Maybe you are here today. You think that the college will change you to be a right person. The college can't change you. It's Jesus Christ who will change you. Nobody else. Nothing else. Says one about it. God still demands righteousness. He doesn't change. God does not change. And God will not lower his standards. The righteousness which the law shows us is still the standard which God demands. The trouble is that nobody can do it. But God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, his internal Son, to fulfill all the righteousness for us. And Jesus did it. Nothing more needs to be done. Nothing less will do. Nothing else is necessary. See, you need to ask this question. Am I right with God? If you don't ask it, you will never find, Jesus Christ. Because the only way that you and I can ever be right with God is through Jesus Christ. Jesus, the one who alone is righteous, has made us right with God. All we need to do is to receive him with a believing heart. And you know what? The moment that you and I turn to Jesus in faith and receive him into our hearts as our Lord and Savior, that's the moment God declares us right with him. That's the moment God declares us justified, just as if I have never sinned. So my question to you, brothers and sisters, are you right with God today? Maybe you have felt right with him for a long time. Maybe there are things in your life and in your heart that prevent you from experiencing it. Maybe you are living the way God wants you to live, and you know that. Maybe you haven't reconciled yourself with other people, and you know that. Maybe you have not reconciled yourself with other person who hurt you long time ago. Maybe there is dishonesty in your heart. Maybe you are living a lie. Maybe on Sunday you are preaching the good news, but on Monday you are living the bad news. So that's a lie. You are living a lie. Allowing people to see what you want them to see, but being someone else when they aren't looking at you. Maybe you cheat a little in business or in a college, and it's eating you away. Maybe you don't really believe it at all, but you pretend you do because you don't want to hurt your fellow students or maybe your family. Maybe you have convinced yourself into believing that someday you will change, that you will get there eventually on your own. I've heard many people who are convincing themselves. When you talk to them, when life is not right, when they are living in sin, they will say, "Muruti, things will be all right." So you can't make things right. So you need Jesus Christ to make things right in your life. So think again, my dear friend, my dear sister, my dear brother, with an attitude like that you will never change. And you will never get there. God has to change you. Jesus has to bring you there. So, you cannot bring yourself there. So you need Jesus Christ. When things aren't right between people, they need to deal with it right away. If you wait too long, it becomes more difficult, almost impossible to fix. When things aren't right between us and God, we need to deal with it right away too. Don't pull it off. Don't let it fester and grow into hardness of heart. Talk to someone, my brother. If you are at a college and you know that your life is not right in the eyes of the Lord, you know that Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday you are here, you are living that holy life, you are practicing that holy life. But when you go back Friday, you know your sins. You know what you are doing in the community. So I'm begging you in the name of Jesus Christ. You need help. Get somebody to speak to. Get your lecturer. Get your elder in your church. Get somebody to speak to about that kind of life you are living. Because if you overboil it, it will smell. Says one about it. So if you don't fix it, the wall is growing day after day. And then later on, it will harden your heart. Let me summarize what I've said. I think I've finished an hour. Is it an hour? It doesn't matter what you have done. Christ is able to wash all your sins. Even though my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all God's commandments, and of never having kept any of them, and even though I'm still inclined toward all evil, nevertheless, without my deserving it at all, out of the sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. As if I had never sinned nor been a sinner. I've been as perfectly obedient as Christ, who was obedient for me. All I need to do is to accept this gift of God with a believing heart. So I'm begging you, my brothers and sisters, please accept this gift of God. Amen.